Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, now would be the time to do it. All the lines are open. We're going to try to do a little rapid fire from here on in, so you can queue your call up, 844-707-5533. We've got the Dow up about an eighth of 1%. That's about it. We've got the NASDAQ down about a quarter of 1%. And we've got the S&P 500 down about an eighth of 1%. So that's where we are. I don't know where we opened. I don't know if this has been volatile. I haven't even looked at the indexes until just now. So that's where we are. There is a couple of things happening. I mentioned to you about ConocoPhillips. ConocoPhillips selling $2.7 billion worth of subsidiaries over in the UK, exploration subsidiaries. It was a very good move, I believe, on ConocoPhillips' part. I'm not sure. Let me take a look and see if I can get a feel for what their stock is doing right now. I know it was down about a half of 1% well before the markets open. I'll see if that has changed any. But ConocoPhillips, anyway, selling these subsidiaries in the UK, which has made about $2.7 billion. That's what they estimate the proceeds are going to be. And this is going to be very good for the company. This is already an organization that basically doesn't have any debt. By the way, they're up. They're positive on the day right now. So they are up so far this morning. They took a little bit of a dip down at the open, but have been up since. So, you know, they're not moving in a negative. I would think that everybody's going to look at this once the dust settles as a positive move. First of all, they still own 40% interest in Teesside Oil Terminal in the UK. That's an oil terminal. It's a very important piece of property to be able to offload and on load as they you know, use that, and they own 40% of it. That's very good, and they've kept that. A lot less risk in owning that than there is in owning some of these exploration companies that there was a fair amount of liability to it. So they pick up this $2.7 billion. They indicated that it's going to be used for general corporate purposes, so they don't have anything really stated for this. It's going to be adding to their cash flow, adding to their war chest, so to speak. So they're going to have opportunities to expand, grow, build, get out of debt. I don't think they're going to spend a lot of money on debt. I'd be surprised if they do. If they spend some of that money on debt, they're not going to have any debt whatsoever, which would be pretty amazing. They have spent a lot of time over the last 6 years deleveraging, as some of the oil companies have, and they've done a great job of it. This is a very, very, very strong company, highly rated from a financial perspective. So all of this, very good for us, because I know that a lot of you, I don't know with 100% certainty, I'll just say it this way, I gotta believe that a lot of you own this stock. This is a company that has been on and off my buy list for, you know, an extended period of time. It's a foundational stock, and it is still on my buy list. So, and it will now, all the more reason to keep it on my buy list. And when they say they're going to use this for a host of corporate kinds of things, of course, the first thing I thought of was maybe there's a possibility that they will feel a little bit more comfortable upping their yield. Probably not likely, but upping their yield. And as you know, it's been on my buy list for a long time. When it was on my buy list, I stated this as a strong buy, still a strong buy, great valuation, a lot of good things going for it. So E27, you own E27, there it is. And So it is still, again, on my buy list. And by the way, it is a foundational stock. Now, I don't like to give the symbol out. I kind of had to. But if people aren't partners and they get that stock because they think it's a good thing, something buy it at your own peril because you're going to miss all the data that I send out by email to the partners and those that listen faithfully. And keep that in mind because I know far more, too many people that have gotten burnt trying to figure out, trying to save $85 of being a partner, $85 a year. And I just say this, and I'll say this in a derogatory way at all. It's just simply a matter of, good business. If you are worried about trying to save that $85, you probably shouldn't be an investor. You know, so keep that in mind. So if you're worried about that, you need to worry more about why am I doing this? This is probably not the right thing for me to be doing for my family and for my stewardship. So I just throw that out there for you to keep that in mind. So anyway, that's some of the good economic news that has come out today. Asia has done a pretty good job at trying to shrug off any of the geopolitical concerns that they have. They haven't done a lot. They haven't, they haven't gone up. The Nikkei was down today. The Hong Kong Hang Seng was down slightly, and the Shanghai Composite was down. The South Korean index was up. Taiwan was up. Singapore was down, and Indonesia was up. Australia up. So Asia, which covers those countries I just mentioned, along with New Zealand and a couple, Vietnam and a couple others that cover that. So anyway, it is interesting, and we'll continue to watch that very closely. We have our Ag Report coming up right now. Craig Haggart, we're going to go through Ag. Then we're going to get to phones. So now would be the time to queue your question up, and we're going to stay with phones. And if you queue it up right now, you'll be the first question we take. Here's Craig Haggart.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market seems to be experiencing a tug-of-war between traders who are concerned that wetness in the U.S. could cause planting delays and those who point to the large grain stocks. Yesterday, the traders who point to ample supply won the day, aided by weakness in the bean market. The weekly ethanol production report was encouraging as it showed an increased production of 14,000 barrels per day over last week's production numbers. It was also good to see ethanol inventories drop by 500,000 barrels to 22.7 million barrels. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading unchanged. The soybean market traded lower again yesterday on increasing South American crop sizes and trade war developments. There have been reports that a trade deal is coming soon, but we've heard that before. President Trump continues to say that the deal with China is moving along well, but it's going to take something more concrete to get the trade excited at this point. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading a couple of cents higher. The wheat market really kind of had a dead cat bounce yesterday. The bounce was largely short covering and bargain pricing. The wheat markets are still pressured by large world stocks in the U.S. winter wheat crop conditions reporting. The overnight trade has Chicago 2.5 cents lower, while Kansas City is trading a penny lower, and Minneapolis is trading 2 cents higher. Cotton futures recorded a second consecutive higher close, with May futures up 17 points to settle at 78.11. In the overnight trade, we're down 8 points as I record this. Livestock futures gave up ground on Wednesday. June live cattle were 7.5 cents lower, while May feeder cattle closed down 60 cents. June lean hogs suffered a setback as they were down a dollar. Class 3 milk futures had a pretty solid day, with the June futures up 15 points as they settled at $15.95. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 71 cents higher at $232.76, while selects were 99 cents lower, settling at $220.16. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 47 cents.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. You might want to go back and listen to the first hour if you missed our interview with Governor Huckabee. Just made a number of comments, introduced a couple of things, and recapped some of the economic things. So all good things, things you want to take a look at. So you can go back and do that in the first hour. Hopefully you'll do that. I know so many people do. Let me go to the phones. Let me go to Mark. Mark's calling us from Tennessee. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My partner. And just tuned in, but I know yesterday and the day before you were talking about preborn. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say how much I appreciate the work that they do and the support that you're giving them. I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you saying that.
Got a little bit of a testimonial just for your listeners to hear, and maybe mm-hmm. it'll motivate them to contribute towards that work and accomplish the goal that you've set forth. My wife and I knew of a young lady who had gotten pregnant while she was in college, and she had career aspirations, and kids were not part of them. So she decided to get an abortion, had to go out of state to get it at the time, had her parents take her to another state. And I don't know the specifics from there, if she was approached by a pro-life person or the Lord just entered her heart, or if she saw a sonogram. But the main part of the story is that she turned to her parents and said, take me home. I'm not going to go through with this. I'll give the baby up for adoption. Well, about 6 months later, my wife and I received our forever son. Mm. And It changed our life, and we've been blessed now for 26 years, having raised him and been blessed by him, and we're now grandparents.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great, and so these decisions that we make today last generations, and we have a moral obligation and now an opportunity to be a part of it. So I really want to encourage your listeners to support preborn.org and the work that they're doing.
Well, that is great. I thank you for that, Mark. That is an amazing testimony, and I know it's going to encourage so many people. It sure has encouraged me, so thank you.
You're very welcome. And that leads to a follow-up. So now that I have a 2- and a 6-year-old grandchild, mm-hmm. want to start a college fund for them. Which of the allocation models are best to use for, not for retirement, given I'm 58 years old, but for a college fund? Which of the allocation models would you say or something else?
I would probably, because of their age difference, I would probably use, one of the more fairly aggressive models, probably 45 to 55. I think that would be a nice middle-of-the-road model use for them. If they were both, if they were 2 and 3, I'd probably go younger than that. But I'm thinking of, the 6-year-old being 10, 11 years out, maybe 12. But I think that would be good, and that's what I would probably start with.
Okay. Well, we'll go down that route and pursue that. So
great.
Thanks again. Appreciate all the work you do, Dan.
You're welcome, Mark. I sure appreciate your encouragement. God bless. Have a wonderful Easter.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to John. John's calling us from Georgia. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I've only been a member now for a couple of months, and I have a stock that I've held on to for about 4 or 5 years. It's CS26. It's on your broad list, and I was just trying to get a feel for what you thought of it, because if I need to sell it, I'll go ahead and sell it.
No, I wouldn't sell it. For sure, I wouldn't sell it. I would hang on to it. This is a stock that I watch pretty closely because it is a consumer staple, and consumer staples, good consumer staples, for one reason or another, seem to be harder and harder to come by. And it's one that, on a fairly regular basis, I'm trying to get on my list, and I'm doing some a little bit closer than maybe average analytical work on it. So I feel pretty comfortable with it. I think that a couple of things. I mean, obviously, it's a small company. They've got about $5 billion, though, of enterprise value and about $4 billion worth of capitalization value. They're a good, strong company. They're held by a lot of institutions. I don't know what the number is, but I'm going to say it's, 60 to 70%, somewhere in that neighborhood, stock being held at institutions. And the other upside to it is it pays right now at the current rate, it's paying about 3.3% in dividends. So it is paying out an okay dividend. And the thing I don't like about it is I think the valuation's a little bit high. And that's what, there are some reasons when I look at this that I look at and I think, you know, I at this price, at these prices where it is right now, I probably need to start thinking about getting this on our buy list, which I am. I just can't get over the valuations and a couple other free cash flow issues when I look at it. So that's the only thing keep me from getting it back on my buy list. But if I owned it, I do not own this, but if I did own it, I would definitely keep it.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you're welcome. And I appreciate your partnership, John.
Yep, thank you.
Yep. Let me go to Sam. Sam calling us from Texas. Hey, Sam.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Good.
I called last week. My 15-year-old wants to start investing, and well, she says she doesn't want to do single stocks. She wants to. She thinks it'll be a little more stable with mutual funds.
Uh-huh.
And I was curious where we should start on that.
Yeah, so is this money that she's thinking she's just going to kind of try to build up a little bit until, you know,
yeah,
3 or 4 years, or is it a, I mean,
I think it'll be a long-term deal.
Okay. Yeah, if you're going to go with mutual funds, I'd probably wait 2 weeks. You're gonna see, if you're a partner, you're going to see, I have something on my list called To Be Announced, and I'm going to make that announcement in about 2 weeks and change my asset allocation model. And I would tell you that it's going to involve two different positions, and one of those is going to be very growth oriented and be the one that I would recommend for sure. So I'm going to tell you to hold off for a couple of weeks. I'm not at liberty to talk about it now, unfortunately, but I will be in again about 2 weeks, assuming everything goes well with the SEC, which everything looks okay. I was hoping to do this in February, but then with the government shutdown, the SEC was shut down, and they got backed up, and everything got messed up, and that's why I put it off. So anyway, I would hold off for that, but I do like the idea of her learning some individual stocks. You know, it's not necessarily more stable to be in mutual funds. It is a little bit easier because it's kind of self-diversified, so you don't get too overly concerned about diversification, which is always a good thing. The downside to mutual funds, that you, for them to work really efficiently and well, then you need to be fairly committed about getting money into it on a somewhat regular basis. I'm not going to say, well, you got to put, you know, $20 in every single payday. I'm not saying that, but at the same time, in order to really create some good efficiency and effectiveness in a mutual fund, try to, you know, tell her to, you know, that it really helps if she can try to give, you know, make a deposit into it every, you know, as often as possible. Maybe it's 4 times a year, maybe it's 6 times a year. Ideally, it would be 24 times a year, you know, but as often as possible, that's one of the keys. That really helps with the stability of the fund. Secondly, you need to understand that mutual funds will follow the market on the way down. They will not follow the market on the way up. And it depends. Now, if it's just a one-day thing or one-week downtick, then, yeah, that's a little bit different. But if it's a long extended downturn, like a market crash or something, then, you know, it could be years before they come back up to where they were. And that's the downside. Now, the upside to putting money in every week or every month is during that downturn, you're buying in cheap and you're buying more shares, a higher percentage of share with each dollar. And that's very, very good for the account. So a person that's doing that in those downtimes, they're going to recover a lot faster than somebody that's not doing that. That's why it's important to make those contributions as often as possible. But I think that's fine. If she wants to do that, I'm glad she's interested in doing that. But I would just wait just two more weeks.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sam. Glad you called.
Thank you. But
yep. 844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call up. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. And we do have two lines open, and we're going to stay with calls. So as soon as we get through this, we're going to get to calls as soon as we get through this break. I will remind you that I'm doing a conference call today for our partners, so that's at 1 o'clock Eastern time, an hour after the end of the program. So you can be on that if you can. If you can't, that's fine, too. We will post that on our conference call side of our website for partners, so you can listen to it over the weekend. But I'm just going to spell out, I've really been pretty vigilant about trying to lay out what I'm thinking is happening and what I think you ought to be concerned about or not concerned about. I'm trying to get you in with me on the caution or optimism or whatever it might be that I'm feeling and help you understand it. That's going to be good for you. All right, so check it out. Conference call today at... Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5523, 844-707-5533. Did I say 23? I think I did. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Mueller report is out. You probably know more about it than me. I wasn't able to hear any of the press conference from Barr, but we'll try to take a look at some of that. I know that Ian posted some of that information up for me to get a look at. So maybe the next break, I'll try to get a look at that. We can talk about it. I don't know if there's anything pressing. There might be a clip that will be interesting from that that we'll try to pull away too. But we'll look at that. But let me go to phones. Let me go to Steve. Steve's calling us from Oklahoma. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Dan. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. I've got those three stocks. I think you have the symbols. I don't believe any of them are on your buy list, but I'm wondering what you think, whether I should sell them. I know the last two I gave you have definitely, I mean, they're up for me, but I know I think one dropped about $4 a couple months ago, and I'm wondering if I ought to wait till it gets back up or sell them.
No, I'd sell them both.
Okay.
Yep.
And then how about that first one?
The first one, I would be a little bit worried about it just because of the sector that it's in, if it's the one I think it is. I'm trying to find out right now. I don't have a good symbol on it. So you don't know the symbol of it, do you?
Yes.
Because
GILD. Healthcare.
Yeah. So, I would probably say, how long have you owned that?
I really don't know. It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's even from a five-year perspective, it's a company that is, negative over the last 5 years. So that's why I asked how long you had it. It is going to continue. Biotech companies, now this is a large cap company, which is kind of rare sometimes in biotech companies. That means, or should mean, it might be in the position to, buy out a small group. I probably wouldn't consider it a sell if I owned it. I don't know that that I would buy it, certainly, but if I owned it, I'd probably keep it here. Just to wait it out a little bit longer. Or if you know what your cost basis is and you have an opportunity to put a sell in on it at a, 3 or 4% of your price, then I would do that, of your cost basis, and get out of it. If you're like me, if you're very conscious about biblically responsible, if you're conscious about, I want to do the right thing, and you're fairly convicted about it, then I would sell it today, because they're heavily involved in abortion, and so from that perspective, it's a no-brainer for me to tell you to sell it. From an investment perspective, that might be a little different. It wouldn't be for me, but it.
No, that's all I need to hear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're very heavily involved in it, so they're actually, profiting by it and involved in the R&D of it. So, yep.
Okay. I didn't know that because I looked it up on the to check it, and it checked okay.
Really? Which on my website?
Yes.
Wow, holy mackerel. Did you use it's Gilead, right? G-I-L-D?
G-I-L-D.
Well, man, there's something wrong. If that came up on my website, I'm looking at it now. I'm seeing if I can try it. But, that would be a shocker to me. And if it is, I'm really glad you told me about it. I'm gonna see if anything is anything's changed on that. Let's see. It's showing up as an alert.
Now I guess I checked the one. Now you always say check on that spoke thing, but I always go right below that. That is the correct way to do it, isn't it?
Right below it, you click on. Yeah, that's the correct way of doing it. You just click on that.
I swore I checked it yesterday.
Yeah, I've got. You got it too, Ian? Yeah, Ian checked it too. He said it came up bad.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe you typed in a wrong letter or something. But I just did it, G-I-L-D, and it's
okay.
It's not good. You might want to go, if you want to go a little further and look at the report, and you can see the that it's 25% abortion.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to sell it.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Steve. I appreciate it. Thank you for your heart. Glad you're doing that.
All right, goodbye.
Yep. 844-707-5533. It is amazing how many people are becoming more and more convicted about that. It's so important, folks. It is, look, it's important. It's important for your relationship between you and the Lord, obviously. And it's important for the blessings as God continues to bless you. I mean, it's important for a lot of reasons. You shouldn't be doing anything for God's blessings. That's the wrong reason to do it. You just know that's coming, but that's the wrong reason to do it. But do it because you're convicted. You just don't want to be. You just don't want to have a part, play a part in any of this stuff. And hopefully, that's the reason you do it. And I appreciate that. His heart on that. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Indiana. Hey, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a question or two. One of them is kind of like your information about the federal funds rate. Remember about 3 weeks ago there was talking about the inverted curve yield and so forth, and all of a sudden you don't hear anything about it. And just wanted your input on your economics input on that, with your thoughts.
So, I said it then that I wasn't going to pay any attention to it. You know, it's got to be, you know, we had this happen last year. I don't remember. I think it was I don't know if it was September, October, where we had a little inverted period of time. For people that don't know what that means the return on the long bond, a long term, like a 30-year government bond, the yield on that ended up being actually lower than the yield on a 2-year or a 10-year. And that,
remember what 2 years they were.
Yeah, it was 10 and 2. It was 10 and 2.
And 10 and 2? Okay.
Yeah, it was 10 and 2. It's almost, but just for the, just so you know, generally, when you hear that the yield curve is inverted, it generally is the 10 and 2. So there was the reason why this year, anyway, so last year we had that little bit of an inverted yield curve on the 10 and 2. And then this year we had that thing, but I didn't pay any attention to it. Number one, it was short-lived. And second of all, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you don't listen every day. Nobody can do that. But I said that, you know, this is ridiculous. How all of a sudden are we now comparing a 2-year yield curve to the 3-month yield to a treasury bill? So we went from a bond to a bill, and we're comparing the two, and they're invert. I mean, so it was really a stretch to begin with. So much so that, and everybody was talking about it, all the really smart guys on Wall Street, and I just wasn't going to give it any credibility. I wasn't going to talk about it, because I'm not going to be about the business of trying to scare people that we have this inverted yield curve when it was all kind of ridiculous to me to begin with. The 10 and 2, that's a different story. And, you know, we watch that closely. But even that, going back to last year, when you see that, it's got to be sustainable. Can't be a one-off. Can't be one day or 1 week or 2 weeks. I mean, there's got to be this prolonged period of time. And I'm not talking about it has to be a year, but, you know, you've got to have several months in a row. You've got an inverted yield curve that allows you to start seeing exactly why it would be inverted. And I would argue today, if I had to, don't have to because it didn't last long, but I would argue today, number one, the two-year and the 3-month or 2-month or whatever it was, I don't know, it was, that's how little I paid attention to it, might have been a 6-month, was kind of irrelevant to me, not to mention it didn't last. And if it did last, you could easily make the argument that it was driven by what was happening in the economy. And what was happening in the economy, it was everybody coming to the realization at once that we are having a global slowdown throughout the economy. And we always forget this. We in America forget this. Wall Street forgets it, or they ignore it, one or the other. But we have a global slowdown. You have a slowdown in Asia and the Eurozone and anywhere else in the world. For them, a flight to safety is the treasury. That's where they go. They come here. The dollar is still the strongest, most reliable, most consistent currency. And so now we have foreign dollars flowing into treasuries, which is driving the yield down. That drives the yield down. So when you see a yield going down, you could say, uh-oh, the economy might be struggling because people are flighting to flight to safety. And that had a lot to do with it. It's back up because people are moving back out, starting to move back into equity.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Our lines are open. If you want to queue your call up, now's a good time to do it. and we'll get you right on. Let me go to John. John's calling us from Texas. Hey, John.
Hey, Dan. I'm 65, and I moved a 401k into an IRA so I could do more with it, and I've been looking at your models and stuff, and I was wondering how quickly, then it's all in cash now, how quickly should I try to move it into, like, your foundational stocks?
Yeah, so I would begin moving now, and I would move. I would look at it. Is it a big 401k? Have you had it a long time?
I've had it quite a while. Okay. It's $150,000.
Yeah. So I would look at that, and I would say, you know what? I'm going to divide this by six, and over the next 6 months, I'm going to have all of it in. I'm going to have, you know, pretty much all of it in, according to the asset allocation model. So in doing that, so today, for instance, or you know, next week or whenever you start, I would take 1/6 of that, and I would look at maybe taking a position in three stocks in three different sectors. So you got the asset allocation model, and it says, you know, you got to have 7% in this and 10% in that, so on and so forth. It doesn't matter where you start. I don't care. I would take three. I would buy one position, which is not going to be the percentage you need. I hope not. If not, take four positions in four different sectors, because you don't want to use up all your percentage for that sector in one stock, which I'm sure you wouldn't be. But, well, I'm not sure, but check that out first and do whatever you got to do. And then in the next month, about the same time that you do this one, do another six, and I would pick now three other sectors that you're not in yet. I would do the same thing. And then the next 6 months, again, same thing. That's what I would want to see you do. And then keep just rotating through. Then you're going to end up back to where you started, and you keep doing that. And begin to gradually build a portfolio at the very same time that you're maintaining some sort of diversification. I think that would be a really good thing. Now, there is an exception. So let's say here we are, and in June, right before you're ready to do this, you know, we have like a couple of days where it's, you know, all the doom and gloomers are out again, and the stock, it's crashing, and we lose, you know, 900 points, you know, on the Dow, and things are really dropping. In that case, if, you know, in that period of time or after that period of time, I'd put the rest in. I wouldn't wait. So if you had three more months to go, I would just get it all in then, so that you have this opportunity to buy in, you know, at a pretty low spot. It may still go down after that, but at least you got in at a well off of where the highs were prior to that, and that would be a good thing to do.
Okay. Another question I had is, there is a Timothy model and a standard model, whatever.
Yes.
You say. What's the difference between those? I saw that, but I didn't understand.
So the Timothy model is for those folks that just want to be in mutual funds. They kind of don't want to, you know, they want to keep it as simple as they can. And they're going to look like they're going to continue to make some ongoing contributions, you know, for a number of years. But they just want to keep it simple. They're going to go in just mutual funds. They think that it's too complicated to try to track and buy individual stocks, or they just don't want to be bothered. And really, that's what that's for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Dan.
You're welcome. I appreciate it, John. Thank you for your partnership. Have a great Easter. Mm-hmm. God bless. Let me go. Well, how much time do we have? Yeah, let me go to Kathy. Kathy calling us from Virginia. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
You know, Dan, they sent you that question, but I also wanted to tell you we went to the Richmond meeting where you were.
Yeah.
And we sat on the front row, and we just appreciated you and your testimony so much.
Mm.
You know, it's just so edifying and glorifying to the Lord. And I've many times thought about calling you and thanking you. Just didn't want to do the hold and all that stuff. But I really appreciate it's the first time I'd been to one of those, and it was just such a fun group.
It was. It really was. It was a great town hall meeting. And it seems like I've only done two on a Saturday morning. And and they were both at that same church, actually. So, there's something about, Saturday morning, there's a few more people that might not normally be able to get there. And it was really great. And I appreciate you saying that. We had a great time. It was a good town hall meeting. And we had a great time the night before in that same church, going through some things and answering some questions. So it was great. It was great. So thank you. I'm glad you were there. Glad you got
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We met you briefly. We didn't really get to interact beyond that. But we live out kind of in a very rural area. So it was just exciting that you came into about an hour drive from us. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, it's always fun for me because I got to drive. And I don't so I love it when I get to drive somewhere. That's not usually the case. So that made it a little bit more relaxing for Yvonne and I as well. So it's nice.
Yeah, I was dying to come to your retreat. It was a little cost prohibitive and kind of a long distance for us and all that. But I tell you, I did tell somebody who lived out in Texas about it. I don't know if he came or not, but it sounded like a great time.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah. It was an amazing time. It was beyond description. It was certainly beyond my expectations. And a lot of people's expectations that had been to other retreats. So it was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, nothing like a retreat.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yep.
Well, good. So you saw my question.
Yeah,
I didn't mention the symbol, but...
I can't find it. Is the first letter E?
Yeah, it's the eventide.
Oh, eventide. Okay, yeah, see, that's, okay, so I'm missing a letter. That's what it was. Okay. So eventide is biblically responsible. Which fund is this?
It's the tag X.
Okay. So, it is a biblically responsible mutual fund company. The downside to it is you can't really diversify a portfolio in it because they just don't have enough funds. So that would be the downside. They really only have, so one fund is a sector fund. It's a healthcare fund. And so it's odd that a mutual fund company would have a sector fund. It's not unusual for a big mutual fund company, that has 100 mutual funds to have some sector funds. It is odd for a smaller, a smaller fund family like this to do that. So, but they are biblically responsible and, good company. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for, or were you looking for more information on that particular?
Yeah, what I'm looking for is we had a financial planner before, and that was part of the portfolio he had for us. I've spoken with you a couple times when we first moved from him, trying to drop. He chose biblically responsible things, mm-hmm. but try to drop the things that weren't on your list, and this was one of them. That before you had said to hang on to. Well, now we're up 13 or 14%.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at it, it's not on any of your lists, I don't know how to track it because I'm not incredibly intuitive about it, and I just need someone to hold my hand like your website does for me.
So is it the limited? Which fund is it? You remember?
Limited in what way?
That's part of the name. Does it say limited on it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It just says ETAG X. I think it's a front end. I think fees seem kind of high, but, I don't know really that across the board.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that helps me. That helps me. I mean, that gives me. So it's a mid-cap growth fund, you know, it is, you know, it's an okay fund. I mean, it's a fund that I don't know that I would recommend that you sell it. If you're up, I probably would continue, you know, to keep it. It's probably a little bit heavy in technologies, which I'm okay with right now. It probably wouldn't have been 5 years ago, but I'm okay with that now. And it's got some retails in it, but it is, you know, it's fine. I mean, I don't see any reason why you would get out. You know, I would just leave it. Do you contribute to it as well?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. We actually have some other mutual funds that we contribute to.
Okay.
And we have, I'm following your portfolio in terms of individual stocks.
Okay.
Starting to balance out pretty well. So I do, you know, I have mutual funds and we have stocks.
Right. So at some point in time when you build your stocks up, you might want to not do the mutual funds because you're getting duplication. You know what I mean? So it kind of waters down your diversification a little bit. So it's okay to have one or two in an odd sector thing like emerging markets or maybe just to cover some international kinds of things. But not now, but at some point in time, you'll probably want to change that. I gotta run, Kathy. I sure do appreciate you. God bless. Folks, thank you.